Let's all stand. I want to read in the scriptures today. Colossians chapter 1, a few verses. And the sermon thought today ties into kind of what we were talking about. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Let's pray one more time. Father, I truly thank you, Lord, that you are the place of our rest.
Amen.
That there is a place that we can anchor our faith. And it's in your word, Lord. It's in you. And Lord, I confess that I'm unable to do anything for my brothers and sisters. But I believe that with you, all things are possible.
Amen.
And I believe you can come in our midst today and move aside an unworthy, unprofitable servant, Lord, and speak to us today and pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, and touch us. Lord, the song said touching Jesus is all that really matters.
Amen.
I ask you to touch us today.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Deliver us from anything that's wrong, all evil, Father, and help us, lead us in the right path. Bless the reading of your word now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Amen.
You believe that today?
Amen.
Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I want to speak about all things. All things. You know, I love these scriptures. You know, you can take these little nuggets, and when you really focus on them and you and just really believe what they say, God created all things.
Amen.
All things. He created all things. And, you know, in Proverbs it even says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. See, so God created all things. And the wicked, the devil, was created as part of the plan. See? We have to admit, God created the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing created itself here. There's an almighty being that created all things.
Amen.
And the scripture we read, it says, we're created by him and for him. So when we step back, we have to say, God had a plan. God had a desire. God had something in his great mind that he wanted to do. And, you know, when we think about, Tim was talking about time earlier, when you think how God's infinite, but we live in a space of time, so we're not, right now, we're not creatures of infinity. You know, when the Spirit of God comes into us, we kind of understand that there is an infinity, that there is eternal life. But in this mortal body, we're kind of trapped in this dimension of time. But God isn't.
Amen.
So when he created, just think about the beginning of man in time, you know, Adam and Eve, and then to the end of time, that space of time for us is, you know, when you compare that to all eternity, it's a small space. But God, being infinite, can spend an infinite amount of time on any moment in time.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say is God had a plan. And his plan was to create angels and then to create this world. You know, this was just an empty void rock, and he hovered over it and he made it the beautiful world that it is. He had a world with water. He had a world you could see through the atmosphere. This world, I personally believe, there's never, ever will be another world just like this. Not in this universe. God created this world special so that we could live here. And that we could look up and say, wow, there's a God that created this whole thing. See? And so when you think about it, God's purpose, and this is something that I do believe Brother Branham, being a seer and being lifted up into the heavenlies, he talked about the threefold purpose of God. And if you accept that he had insight to God, this threefold purpose is very insightful. See, first mystery of God was God desired to reveal himself in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a lot of people might not understand it, because they can't imagine a great God of all eternity humbling himself, condescending himself to be in the flesh of a mortal man. But never a man spake like this man.
Amen.
There never was a man like Jesus.
Amen.
And why? Because he wasn't just a man. The Spirit of the living God, the fullness of that Spirit was in this man. And as we've said before, if that was God's purpose to reveal himself in Jesus Christ, I think he did a wonderful job. Not that my opinion matters, right?
Amen.
But when I look at Jesus, I see perfection. He was perfect. That's why we sing to be like Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be like him.
Amen.
Because he had the perfect balance. He was righteousness and holiness, but he had love for people.
Amen.
He didn't like the religious situation, the super religious people. He didn't get along with them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I can understand that. When you meet super religious, self-righteous people, they're hard to get along with. Because they got it all figured out.
Amen.
But just remember this. Those Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, they looked into the face of God in flesh and they resisted him. They condemned him. They killed him. Being religious has nothing to do with being right.
Amen.
Because there's a religiousness that's delusional. There's a religiousness that's self-righteousness. No, he is our righteousness.
Amen.
He is our holiness.
Amen.
We have none of ourself. It's just that when he lives in us, that can manifest through us.
Amen.
But, so anyway, first fold mystery, God reveals himself in Jesus Christ. The second, as Brother Bam taught us, was that God desired, purposed, that he would have preeminence. That's a wonderful word.
Amen.
Have preeminence in a body of believers, the church. So the Holy Spirit in this ministry, when we look, since the Old Testament pointed to Calvary, the whole New Testament points back to Calvary, because Calvary is the way that the Spirit of God can have preeminence in you. We don't let the Holy Spirit have preeminence because we're better than anybody else. We let the Holy Spirit have preeminence because we're looking to the sacrifice he made. We're looking to how great he was. And by faith, we believe he can take that which is imperfect and change us and make us what he wants us to be.
Amen.
See, I don't think most Christians, I really don't believe anybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost thinks they're perfect in themselves. I think the Holy Ghost reveals to us he is our perfection.
Amen.
It's my faith, that's the gospel, our faith in what he did for us, and he doesn't impute sin to us. By the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, what a plan of salvation.
Amen.
See, so now we enter by the Spirit of God into this relationship, and it's very individual, and it's very intimate.
Amen.
the relationship with God. Because he's so great that he can deal with one individual, he can come right down. Now, you can have a big family, and you can live in a big house, and you can have a lot of people and be around people all the time, but it's the hidden life with Christ. It's that individual life. It's that interaction with God that nobody understands and knows about but you.
Amen.
Now, we can relate to other people that are having that, but nobody has the same experience with God that you're having, because you're having a very individual. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It just should blow our mind that God is interested. He is interested in individuals.
Amen.
He wants to fellowship with you.
Hallelujah.
And I do believe that's part of why there's in a creation is God wasn't pleased to be alone with himself. He wanted to fellowship, so he shared his life with others.
Hallelujah.
What a plan.
Amen.
You know, when I see that, all religiousness goes away, all ceremony goes away, all traditions go away. No, it's about fellowshipping with another being, and this being being God our Creator.
Hallelujah.
And so, all things were created by him and for him. And of course, the thirdfold mystery, which I do believe God is looking forward to, is when he restores Eden. See, back in the Garden of Eden, it was perfection. There was perfect fellowship. And sin broke that fellowship. And then what did God do? Think about what God did. Now man is in fallen condition. God gives himself. God gives himself and pours out that pardon on everyone, so that those that can accept it and receive it, they can have eternal life. There's not one person on the face of the earth, I don't care how bad they are, I don't care what they've done, if they'll come to Jesus Christ, I believe they can be saved.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what they've done. He's a deliverer.
Amen.
He is a savior.
Amen.
Now you can get into theology and say, well, this one will and this one won't. It's not for us to know that. If someone's got breath in them, I believe it's possible because eternal life came and touched me. There's something in me that believes the word of God, and this person's alive, and that person came across my path. They're a candidate for eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Because the good news is going to come out of my mouth at some point.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling.
Glory.
It's bubbling in my soul. This truth of the gospel.
Amen.
Listen, we don't have to be perfect. And we can share the good news.
Amen.
Because I still believe the gospel is good news.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of preaching that seems like bad news. I know there's a lot of ministry that just seems like it condemns. But to me, it's good news.
Amen.
He took my place. He took your place. So that you could overcome. Maureen has a little pot at home, and she puts these little things in there in the kitchen, and it has such a beautiful saying. And it says, give God your weakness, and he'll give you his strength.
Amen.
I do believe that's kind of what that Paul says, my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
I do believe that's the thought. If you give God your weakness, you acknowledge your weakness, you acknowledge your sin, you give it to God, and then he gives you his strength.
Hallelujah.
And then you're a person that says, hey, it's not me, it's him.
Amen.
He did, Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all.
Amen.
And we just become people that brag on Jesus all the time.
Amen.
Because the reality is,
amen,
that's true. We can do nothing of ourselves. Without him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
So, I love the plan of salvation. I love what God is doing. And I don't understand everything. And I think that's part of the reality we live in. We don't see everything. We don't understand everything. But what he has revealed to us is precious to us. The truth he reveals to us, we hold very dear. Because a lot of people don't understand truth. There's people that they condemn the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. And they when we say something that it says, they say, well, that's your interpretation of it. And, well, I guess they can say that. But that's what it says, you know. And so, help us, Lord.
Amen.
And the truth is, there are a lot of interpretations of the Bible. So there have been a lot of misinterpretations of the Bible.
Amen.
And there are a lot of different, how many different denominations are there of Christianity? How many offshoots are there? But in the midst of it all, I believe God's going to find individuals that are truly born again.
Amen.
Truly filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, like on the day of Pentecost, and God is going to have his way through them.
Amen.
So, don't you want to be one of them?
Amen.
That's my desire. I really want to be one of them. I see all my failings. I see all my faults, and sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me. But I have to look at the Old Testament, and when they were going into the Promised Land, and the enemy looked so great, God didn't like when they looked at the size of the enemy. He didn't like that. He wanted them to believe like Joshua and Caleb. The land is yours.
Amen.
See, so don't look at the size of the enemy. Our greatest enemy is ourselves. Don't look at the size of your enemy. Look at the promise of God.
Amen.
Have faith that all things are possible if we only believe.
Amen.
So, there's another scripture here that I want... I'm going to read that first one again in Colossians. There's so much there. I just want to take a little slow. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus now, who is the image of the invisible God. He is, that presentation of Jesus here on earth is the image of the invisible God. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The firstborn of every creature, for by him, now let me stop for a moment. We know in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And through Him, Christ, all things were created. All things were. If you're reading the Proverbs, I love how it talks about the wisdom of God, how it stood by Him as He was creating. His wisdom, He created all things through His wisdom. And what wisdom He had. You know, just look at the creation that he made. So by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth. That's a lot of things. Visible and invisible. There are things that are invisible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christians, by faith, we know about evil spirits and their effect. We don't really see with their eye, that we see what they do. We see the effect they have on people. We see what it produces in people. Hate and anger and viciousness and things like that. That's not caused by the Spirit of God. That's an evil spirit, right? So, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, who sets up kings?
Amen.
Who takes down kings?
Amen.
Amen.
See, man always thinks they're doing it. Dominions, principalities, and powers. That covers a lot. Principalities and powers. We know the Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. There's people in power on this earth that are filled with spiritual wickedness. But who let them be there? The devil, right? But who let the devil let them be there? All things were created by him. Can we admit that? Can we just agree that? All things were... I think that's easy. God created all things. There's some vessels to honor, vessels to dishonor. He created all things. Were created by him and... for him. For him. There's another scripture I want to read real quick in Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. All things were created by him and for him. Now, you have to be careful in your carnal mind that you don't make God like another person. And you don't let the devil put thoughts in your mind like, well, God's just out having fun. No. He's an eternal being that had no end and no beginning. His wisdom is beyond our understanding. It's past finding out. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen.
You cannot understand. He's so great. Listen, when you think about the word good and what that means, and the word great and what that means, and the word righteousness, the real kind, and what that means, and holiness and what that means, God created those thoughts.
Amen. Amen.
All that is good, that's what He is.
Amen.
Now, He is just. He's a just God. And we know when He comes back, that's the day of vengeance of our God.
Amen.
And we're warning people everywhere to repent and to give their life to Jesus. Right?
Amen.
And even we ourselves, if we get caught up in something wrong, what should you do? Repent.
Amen.
Turn back to God. He doesn't want you to stay in sin. He wants you to turn away and come back to Him. Say, well, I keep failing, Brother John. Listen, that's not the point. Get up again.
Amen.
Turn back again.
Amen.
See, this flesh, is as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have a battle on our hands. The main thing is if you can feel conviction and the Word of God can speak to you and the Spirit of God can deal with you and you can say, I'm wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I've sinned against God. And you say, Lord, Your word said, if I confess my sin, You're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And that's how you get up, by applying the benefits of Calvary to your life.
Amen.
That's why it's there. So that we can get up again.
Amen.
Staying in a pit of sin and feeling sorry for yourself and say, the devil got me. I'll never change. That's just a lie of the devil. A predestinated child of God, you were born to be an overcomer.
Amen.
You were not placed here to be overcome. You were placed here to overcome.
Amen.
And you can't overcome through your own strength. You overcome through what He did for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All things were created by Him and for Him. So He's not just some human being playing games. He's a great almighty God that has a plan. And I don't know about you, my confidence is His plan is perfect.
Amen.
He is perfect.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do you have that confidence?
Amen.
Do you have that trust?
Amen.
Listen, I really believe that if we really get an understanding of God, of who He is, we would eventually get to the place where we could say, you know what? He's so great and He's so right that if He chooses to live without me, I understand. Nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody. I don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. But I'm talking about letting God be God. Some people will serve God because He's got to save me. And then if He's not going to save me, well, then I'm not going to serve Him. He's not God yet for you. He's really God when you say, though He slay me, yet I'll trust Him.
Amen.
Though He cast me in hell,
Amen.
He's still righteous.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
Now, faith in His Word points us to Calvary and points us to redemption. And that's what we trust in. We are those that trust in His mercy. We trust in God's provided way of escape. But I'm just trying to make a point. God is God.
Amen.
And we aren't. And if he really doesn't want me there, if He says, I'd rather not have you around, who are we to argue with Him?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know that's kind of deep, when you get into that kind of thing, but the reality is, we really are unworthy.
Amen.
And it's only the grace of God that we're saved.
Amen.
We're not saved because we are better than others. We're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
So all principalities and powers, all things were created by Him. Even Matthew 28, we always read that. I didn't give this to you, Sean, but we always quote, go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But in verse 18 of Matthew 28, you can read it later, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There it is. All power. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a conversation with God and I say, Lord, I really need some willpower, and you have all power. Could you give me some willpower? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because I realize happiness isn't from indulging. Let's just take junk food or whatever that hurts us. And indulging in that doesn't, it might give you a taste for a minute, but then you got to deal with it. You know, you eat it today, you wear it tomorrow, right? So I realize resisting is good for me.
Amen.
But you need power to resist.
Amen.
Right? There's something in resisting here in this life that God is interested in. That's why I say God created this world for His pleasure. I believe God gave us, we don't fully understand it, a free will. Now, we can go back and say, well, you know, you can go into theology and say, well, no, God does everything. And you can make it like we have no choice and we're just drones just walking through. But I really don't believe that. You had a choice to be here today or not, didn't you? You had a choice what kind of socks you're going to wear and what kind of clothes you're going to wear and things like that, right? I believe we do make choices every day on this level where we are, where we're conscious. Yes, is there a higher level? Yes, I understand that. But think about it. God seems interested in what we choose with the choices we're given. Doesn't the scripture say, every way of a man seems right in his own eyes,
Amen.
But the Lord
Amen.
Pondereth the hearts.
Amen.
So here in my pea brain, I just think about God, you know, scratching his chin a little bit, watching us, what we do when we're faced with. Like this morning, I was faced with a choice. I wanted to stay with Maureen, you know, because she was crying and she was in need, and I'm feeling like a heel that I'm leaving her there. But then I had to come here. So I had to make a choice, and God sees my heart, right? So I prayed for her, believing God's going to touch her. I texted some of my other kids that are not in church, and I said, hey, could you visit, you know, your mom? But we make choices every day. We choose good or evil every day. We you know, Job was perfect and upright in his heart, and it said he eschewed evil. If you look at that word, he resisted evil. There's something wonderful about resisting evil. Now, some people never resist evil, and that's why they become very wicked. They go down this path, right? But there's something in the kingdom of God. There's something about Holy Ghost Christians. They resist evil.
Amen.
And that builds strength, resistance strength, right? Resisting a Twinkie, right? If you never resist, you're full of Twinkies. But the first time you resist might be hard, but then you had strength to resist the next time.
Amen.
There's something about, like weightlifters, they call it resistance training, right? There's weight pushing on them. They have a dumbbell, they're lifting weights, but really it's resistance. They're pushing against something,
mm-hmm.
and that builds strength. We need to resist the devil.
Amen.
And he'll flee from you.
Hallelujah.
And you'll prove that in your life when you resist. If you never resist, you're not going to prove that. You will be weak.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
But we need to build with faith spiritual muscles to resist the devil.
Amen.
See, so I believe God's interested in all that. We look on the surface, like, remember Samuel picked Eliab, the older brother of David, and God said, you know, Samuel, you're just looking on the outside. He was tall. Saul was tall. A replacement's coming in. He's going to be tall. Okay, that's, God's like, that's so carnal, Samuel. Even though you're a prophet, you're still carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prophets aren't perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Samuel looked on the situation, said, Eliab, he's tall, perfect. God says, Samuel, man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart.
Amen.
And I want you to know, I take comfort in that.
Amen.
He sees my heart. He sees what my intention was. He sees what my desire is. My desire, I want to serve God. I want to live for God. If I fail, that's not really what I want. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let God search your heart.
Amen.
Remember, I said one of the most painful exercises you can go through, and I got this from Charles Finney. He would recommend people to, in prayer, to really sincerely ask God to show them what he sees. And to get a piece of paper and a pencil, and as God starts to write down sin and wickedness in your life, write it down. It's a painful exercise. Because what happens in prayer, God's able to let you see things that you can't see without God. In other words, he'll show you motives, ambitions, desires that you have that just aren't right from his view. And you start writing those things down, and next thing you know, you got a whole page. Next thing you know, you got 10 pages of, oh my gosh, I'm a wicked person, you know? But that's a good thing, because then you can give it to him and he can save you.
Amen.
Oh, what a savior.
Amen.
You need to know that you need to be saved before you can be saved.
Amen.
You know, some people don't think there's anything wrong with them, and that's because they never break in through in prayer and they never really ask God to reveal to them what's wrong. Because I believe we're all flawed people. Let's just say it.
Amen.
And I think I have scripture because it says, there's none righteous, not one.
Amen.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of
Amen.
God. And if you say you have no sin, the Bible says you're a liar.
Amen.
So you're closer to truth when you realize everybody's a sinner.
Amen.
Everybody needs a Savior.
Amen.
We're flawed people.
Amen.
But God, He's the master worker, the master potter. And the masterpiece is in the flaw, right? When Moses, when Michelangelo smote the knee and there's a flaw in the knee, the flaw made it the masterpiece.
Amen.
Right back, you'll notice on the door, there's a, what do you call that? There's a tile threshold. And we're putting it down and it cracks, you know. And of course, we're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Replace it? I said, the flaw is the masterpiece. See, that's how I think, okay? And you didn't even notice it anyway, probably. If you look at it now, you probably will. Praise God. Let's face it, God takes flawed people and changes them.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When I look back, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But I will look back, I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
You wouldn't even give me the time of day. I couldn't speak without cursing. So when I meet someone like that, I understand.
Amen.
Every time I spoke, a curse word came out. I didn't even know it was a spirit. But when he came, that was gone.
Amen.
Just he changes things.
Amen.
Aren't you glad of that? Overnight changed my desire. I couldn't imagine existence without drinking beer all the time. You know, and I don't know if I was an alcoholic or not, but I used to drink all the time. And the moment he came, it was gone. Gone. No desire. And my brother-in-law's at a wedding I went to, they heard about this so-called conversion of John, because I used to drink with him. She has six older brothers. And I was at a funeral, and they thought, oh, we're going to, here, John, here's a beer. I'm going to tempt you with a beer. I'm like, hey, there's no temptation here. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Amen.
Now, even after he touched me, it doesn't mean I'm perfect.
True.
Amen.
I have many flaws and many imperfections,
Amen.
But I believe God works with us.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Sanctification is a process. John Wesley talked about it like something before and something after, but that there's actually a moment of sanctification by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you realize, I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what John Wesley believed. But he said it had a process before and after. So even after you come to that place, God's still sanctifying us. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh man, I have so many notes, Tim, like all the songs, right? Amen. Romans 13:1. Here's a challenge for us sometimes. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Right? So we're not into politics. You may not like Donald Trump, but God allowed him to be president.
Amen.
And our Bible says to pray for your leaders.
Amen.
Right? So I actually believe Nancy Pelosi prays for him. He may not believe that, but see, as Christians, we don't have to agree with him, but I'm going to pray for him.
Amen.
That it may be well with the nation, right? And I personally believe God set him up for a reason.
Amen.
And no, we don't agree with his behavior. We definitely don't agree with belittling people, demeaning people, and things like that. That is not what we want to see in a leader. We want to see some dignity, right? But God is an unusual God. And I have to say, he put him there for a purpose. And I'm not political. I don't tell you how to vote, but he's probably going to be here for another 4 years too, because the other side's not doing too good. Right? To me, I voted once for Jesus, and that's it. And we get criticized for that. We get criticized that we say, I voted for Jesus. You know, to me, Jesus didn't get involved in politics.
Amen.
And it was the religious political people that killed Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Brother.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So true.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So all the powers that ordain. Listen, we talked about this before. You know, not every police officer is a good police officer.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
But they're not all bad.
That's right.
They're not all good.
That's right.
And not all church people are good either.
Amen. That's right.
Right?
Yes, that's right.
So you find good and bad everywhere.
Amen.
But they have been given power over the people.
True.
Some of them abuse that power. Some of them don't abuse that power. Personally, most of the police officers I met have been very courteous and polite. And I got the feeling that they weren't bad people.
Sure.
We have our own PJ, Jamie's son. I couldn't think of a better person to be a police officer. You know, because he knows what's right.
Amen.
You know, even if he's not perfected himself, he knows what's right.
Amen.
And so I have a trust to him. I might not trust everybody. But when a police officer pulls you over because you're speeding... Don't get all self-righteous about it. He was put there because you're doing something wrong. How many's ever got a speeding ticket? Oh, some people never. I have. You know, and the Bible says, if when you're wrong, you take it patiently, what's the big deal? You were wrong. But if when you weren't wrong, you take it patiently, God gets glory from that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All things. God created all things. He ordained all powers. Now, I just wanted you to catch that. I wanted you to have that thought. God created all things. All things are for his purpose. And then we go to Romans 8:28, which we quote all the time, and I think we should, to remind ourselves. And we know, my question to you is, do you know? And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. It doesn't say to them who are called, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that is a huge statement that is part of the scriptures. Do you believe it's the word of God?
Amen.
So now we have to accept, not only did God create all things, but all things are working together for our good. If we love God, if we're the called according to his purpose, that doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good. What's happening to Maureen today and this migraine trial she's in, it doesn't feel good. But I believe it's going to work for good. Somehow. I believe God is going to deliver her. I have loved ones that are not saved going through hard trials. I believe God is going to get glory out of that somehow. I don't understand it. Maybe we wouldn't do it that way. But God is greater than we are. He sees the bigger picture. And I think we need to learn to trust him. No matter what it looks like to mortal man, all things are working together for good according to God's purpose.
Amen.
So we're talking about all things today. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 to finish up this part about all things. Verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Hallelujah.
See, we don't see it all the time, but God is working all things. We're over here in our little part, but he's working something over here.
Amen.
Right? You know, I love the statement Brother Branham made about Israel when they were, Joseph was on the scene and they were brought down to Egypt. And he said, God ruled the world for the 70 people at the time. You know, I believe God does that. When you're in your workplace and there's things changing, God's doing something.
Amen.
When you're in your relationships and there's something happening, you know, God's doing something.
Amen.
God, it may not be good. You know, I have a carnal job, I call it, and 10 years ago, I loved the way it was operating. Today, not so much. But I acknowledge it's a trial that God gave to me. And how am I responding? We can't control those things, but the only thing we control is how we respond. We have to trust God, you see. And like I said, sometimes God will send you a catalyst. What's a catalyst? A catalyst, I work in the refinery world, it's a substance that touches the product and the catalyst doesn't change. It just passes over something, but it causes a reaction. Now God, a catalyst could be a situation, it could be a trial, it could be a person God sends your way to cause a reaction in you.
Amen.
So that you can change. If we're always looking and blaming other people, we don't realize God's doing something. If you take the view, God's working all things for my good, then this trial he sent my way, this person who gets under my skin, all of this is for my good.
Amen.
God is helping me. He's changing me.
Amen.
And sometimes change comes from seeing where you're wrong.
Amen.
You know, where you're wrong. And you need to be honest with yourself and watch the reactions you have. And if the reactions aren't right, listen, that's an area God's trying to work on. God's trying to work on us. All things. He worketh all things after his own will. It's God that sets up kings and kingdoms. It's God that brings them down. He works after his own will. So we should have confidence no matter what's happening today, God's in control. Do you have that confidence?
Amen.
All right. So, but there is a king coming, and there is a kingdom coming that will have no end. See, and that's what we're looking for. I'm not looking to find peace with the kingdoms of this world and the kings of this world. I'm not looking for my government to make me happy. I expect the government of man not to make me happy. Right? I expect man, my fellow man, might have good intentions, but I don't think he's able to make me happy. I'm looking for a king and a kingdom that is perfect and will have no end. A righteous king will sit on the throne, King Jesus. I believe he's coming back. And he's going to set up a kingdom here. Do you believe that? So we're looking for that. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. I'm taking too long. Careful now. Careful. Careful. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Amen.
but that the wicked would turn from his ways and turn back to God. We should take no pleasure in the death of someone who's wrong. But we should prefer that they would repent. Right? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We know, see, people caught up in politics and whatever, they're fighting for this or fighting for that. Listen, it's all going away.
Amen.
They're fighting the wrong fight. It's all going away. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to collapse. All of it shall melt with a fervent heat.
Amen.
And we knowing this, what manner of persons ought we to be? Should we be fighting the wrong fight like so many people in the world? We should fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
The good fight of faith. See? It's truth. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for. What are you looking for? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
Wherefore, my beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Amen.
See, so here's my opinion. Even though we know these things, we seem to forget them. The daily grind gets on us and we're going to work. We're rubbing shoulders with unbelief all the time. And we forget Jesus is coming back. This world is going to burn. Just as a human being was saved, this world's going to be saved. With what? Water, blood, life. And this world is water to flood. The blood of Jesus and fire. There is fire promised to burn all the systems of the world off this earth. I believe that's coming. How it's going to come, I don't know. But I believe it's coming. I'm not resting in any man-made system. You can't have peace in anything here you see. You can't have peace in an institution. You can't have peace in financial system. You can't have peace in popularity and fame. And all that's going away.
Amen.
There's only one thing not going away. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
Rest in the Word of God. So we need to remind ourselves that God is God, and no matter what the circumstances, no matter how dark it gets, no matter what the conditions are, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
He's coming back. So we can read in the Bible many times where God's people looked really bad. I just want to cite a few today. But we find God made a way when there is no way, because He can make a way where there is no way. Let's go to Isaiah 54, and then I'll take a few examples, and we'll try and finish. God may let things get very desperate. He may let His people get to a condition where it seems like He's forsaken them. But He hasn't. It's a test of faith. Do you believe God is God or not? Do you believe the rest of His Word? No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not. That sounds like a command to me. Fear not.
Amen.
For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment, now sometimes it doesn't seem like a small moment, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant, the covenant of my peace, be removed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught a Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Amen. Behold, I have created the smith. What's the smith? He's the blacksmith. Amen. He makes weapons. Amen. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon. Are you listening? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn.
Amen.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen. Glory.
No weapon. You know, Jamie and I were talking in the back about their about, you know, different people and guns and things like that. And, you know, some churches are having guns. But we are of the opinion, I am of the opinion, God is our protector.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God is our protector. So,
amen.
So we're not making a human natural plan. We have a supernatural plan.
Amen. Glory.
We're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to expect God to be here and need us. Now, I've prayed around this building and around the people here, and, you know, we're believing God's going to protect us. But if He should allow, for some purpose, someone to come in this place, listen, it's not going to be man-made protection. I believe there's angels here. I believe there's supernatural here. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. That's what I believe. Praise the Lord. Look at Joseph. The story of Joseph's amazing. I'm trying to finish up quickly, but many times in his life, he seemed forsaken by God. Think about his life. When his brothers threw him in the pit, can you imagine your brothers throwing you in a pit and you're in a ditch and you're, it's like, wow, I knew they didn't like me, but not that bad. Right? So they sold him into slavery, and then it got worse. Not only threw him in a pit, like he might think, ah, they're just teasing me. Then they let him be sold. They really must have hated me to sell me into slavery. And Joseph's trial was not short. I want you to remember that. His trial was years of suffering, and logically, he could have said, God has forgotten me. But the truth is, God was always with him. God was always with Joseph, even in the midst of his suffering. Because God had a plan. God had a greater plan. You know, all these things we can look and see, but God restored in the end. See, God could see the end from the beginning. Help us, Lord, to have eternal eyesight. Help us to see the end as He promised it would be, right? Remember the boy on the bicycle? He didn't look where he was. He looked out to where he was going. Don't look where you are. Look what God has promised.
Amen.
So in the end, God restored Joseph to his father. I tell you, when I read that story in the Bible, I always weep. There's such emotion in that story. And I don't feel like I'm an overly emotional person, but when I read the story of Joseph being restored to his father and all the emotion in Joseph pent up after all those years and that release, and it just makes me weep seeing. You know, God has a plan. God is going to restore in the end. And so, see, there was something bigger. There was a famine coming. It was coming. And You know, I think of Joseph through all those nights of suffering, how hard it was to be betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused in prison, and the cupbearer didn't remember him after he had the vision, and he's like, there's nothing going right. He had every right to think, my life is just horrible. But what do we look at when we look at Joseph? We look at the end of his life. We look at that after that suffering, he was lifted up to the right hand of Pharaoh. He actually became a type of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the right hand, every knee bowed to Joseph, you know, and things like that. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, one of the wonderful things that I see in the story of Joseph is he finally got to the place where he understood why. Yes, he did that thing with his brothers and he was kind of testing them. And, you know, we don't really understand all that. He put them through with the cup and the bags and stuff. But in the end, let's go to Genesis 45. I'll just read a little portion here.
Amen.
Oh, the Bible's rich.
Amen.
Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself. He could not refrain himself anymore. But before all them that stood by the... And this happened after one of the brothers offered, take my life, not Benjamin. Joseph couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it anymore. He could see now, my brothers really, they have changed. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph's, he wept aloud. What do you think that was like? Have you ever experienced crying that you can't control? Have you ever experienced wailing? Have you been around someone that's just wailing? Have you ever wailed yourself to God? You know, there's something about that, you know, that experience that changes you. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He saw it. He understood it. God did this. You think you did it. God did it.
Amen.
God's in control.
Amen.
Oh, we need to see that.
Amen.
Lord, help us to see it. God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath been the famine in the land, and there are 5 years in which there shall neither be eating nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you of posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
Amen.
So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God.
Amen.
See, I don't see any bitterness anymore towards his brothers. I don't see any bitterness towards God.
Amen.
He realized God intended to save. God wanted to use Joseph as an instrument to save. And therefore, there was suffering he had to go through to get him to that place. Brothers and sisters, God may pound you and I. We may go through trials and tests. He's trying to get us as a vessel that he can use to save.
Amen.
Where you're not always thinking about yourself, where you're thinking about somebody else, where you're thinking about life and death and heaven and hell and salvation. God help us to yield and let the Holy Spirit have preeminence. Save with great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Praise God.
Amen.
Can I keep going? There's a couple more stories.
Look
at Job. You know, I don't think we can imagine the suffering of Job. I really don't think we can imagine, because Job was such a great man. He had all these riches. In his heart, he loved God and he eschewed evil and he was good and upright. And God was proud of Job.
Amen.
He pointed out Job to the devil. You know, we're kind of like, all right, God, you know, don't. You can be proud, but I don't really want that. You know, so, and here we look back on Job and we know the whole story. We know the beginning, we know what happened, we know the end. Job didn't know all those things. Job didn't see the meeting of God and the devil. Things are going good, and all of a sudden they're going really bad.
Amen.
right? It looked like he was being punished by God. Is that right?
Amen.
It looked like, to his best friends, he must have sinned and God's angry with him. Be careful when you judge somebody. His comforters were wrong. Though they said a lot of right things, though they had a lot of wisdom and knowledge, they were wrong about Job. It wasn't true. God loved Job. God was proud of Job. God was showing the devil and Job that no matter what happened, the faith that Job had was carrying him through. See, he had faith inside of him. He had something inside of him that was greater than him. That no matter what he went through, he still believed God. He still trusted God. God help us to see that.
Amen.
Yes, there were nights of agony. Absolutely. Yes, all of his friends and even his wife turned on him. What a miserable condition. But God saw the end from the beginning. And God saw what he was going to do for Job in the end. Job didn't see it. God saw it. God saw that Job had faith, and I believe that faith was his victory. Let me just read a little bit from Job, chapter 19, verse 13. You know, there were times that Job complained a little bit, and we can understand that. We're not above that, right?
Amen.
Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Job 19, verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very, verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. He had boils all over him. You know, it was just horrible, right? I called my servant. He gave me no answer. He's like, you're about to die. I don't have to pay attention to you anymore. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose. They spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, O my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Look at verse 23. Amen. In the midst of his suffering, he found faith and inspiration. Look at verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. They were written. Job, they were written.
Amen.
See, at that moment, he's desperate. He's in pain. He's feeling forsaken by everyone. He said, oh, that my words were written in a book. Where did he get that from?
Amen.
God didn't forsake Job.
Amen.
God was with him every step of the way. Listen, brothers and sisters, we may not like it. God allows suffering for a purpose. We always blame the devil. We always say, the devil did this, the devil did that, that brother, that sister, always pointing. And we miss the truth. God's in control.
Amen.
God allowed it for a purpose. When will we realize all things are working together for our good?
Hallelujah.
Be glad and rejoice. The day of the Lord comes. I want to be on the Lord's side.
Amen.
I want to be on the Lord's side. Look at verse 25. For I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin words destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Glory.
Woo! In his suffering, he's saying, yeah, I may die, but that ain't the end of me.
Hallelujah.
He didn't have the benefit of the scriptures that we have. He was way back there. But see, faith is our victory. God had given Job the faith of God. God had given Job revelation. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. You know, Job's going to be there. And I'll wait in line, you know. But I just want a few minutes with him. How about Moses?
Oh, my. Amen.
I really need to talk to Moses. Brother, sister, it's real. Amen. Just beyond this last breath. Hope stood there, was dying on that cot. And she went to the other life. And then Brother Branham called her back. He said, Bill, why'd you call me back?
Amen.
He said, you've preached it, Bill, but you have no idea. You have no idea what it's like over there. Let me go there.
Amen.
Let me go. It's beautiful. I saw trees there. It was, she's describing something beautiful. I believe that just beyond this last breath of this life, for Christians that are saved
Amen.
By God, there is something so wonderful we cannot even imagine.
Amen.
No sorrow. No death. That's what the scripture says.
Amen.
No pain. No suffering.
Amen.
The trials of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed
Amen.
In us.
Amen.
We need to hold fast our faith. We need to have confidence and have faith in God.
Amen.
Even no matter what the conditions look like, all things are working together for good.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm not going to take Esther because that would take too long. Maybe we'll continue that. I love, read the book of Esther, homework, okay? I want, when you're reading the book of Esther, look for, and I know we've been down this path before, but it's still good. Is it still good? Read, when you read the book of Esther, I want you to look for certain things. Look at God's perfect timing. All through it. Look at what Esther and the Jews didn't know, but God knew what he was going to do in the end. There was a plan, and actually there was a purpose in it all. And in the end, all the enemies of the Jews were destroyed because of the way it played out. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Love the Lord.
Amen.
All right, I just want to finish today. Let's all stand. I want to read Isaiah 40. This is a beautiful scripture. I mean, there's so many wonderful nuggets in the Bible. And Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom will ye whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and cast his silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Praise God.
Amen.
The earth is a circle, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's not a flat earth. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Amen. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thank you, Amen. Lord.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we love to talk about you, Lord. You are beyond our understanding, O God, but we love you and we thank you for what you've revealed to us. Lord, we realize we don't understand everything, Lord, but what we do understand is that you are a mighty God,
Amen.
That you are the one true living God, and that your name is Jesus Christ. And Lord, you're coming back to redeem. You've already redeemed us on Calvary. You're coming back to catch away your bride, and then you'll come back with her to set up your millennial reign. And Lord, we believe it's at any time now. Lord, make us ready for that hour. Help us to realize all things are working together for good. Help us to look to you when we're in the midst of pain and suffering, Lord. And maybe we won't understand now, but there will come a day when we will understand. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and grace. Help us to be a light to this dying generation, Lord. May we be written epistles read of all men. May there be something in our life that is a testimony, Lord, to those lost and dying, that there is a life beyond this life. The Bible is the truth. It is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Father, bless your people today. Lord, again, there's only so much we can do to help one another. And we want to help, Lord, but Lord, with you, all things are possible. Deliver us, Lord, from all evil. Help us, Lord Jesus. Take out of our mind and our hearts any wrong thought or ambition, Lord. Cleanse us by your Spirit. Cleanse us with your fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask you to give us a renewed hunger for your word and for prayer. And may you give us that expectation that we shall meet you there in that closet, Lord. Bless each one today. I thank you for your word and for being with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let the musicians come. What's that song? It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, say, oh, and again, a It's not by might, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith. Yes, Lord, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This trial has an end. God sees the end from the beginning. Amen. I know my thoughts to you, they're good thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask, Brother Amos, could you dismiss us? Yes, Brother G.
Some prayer for a friend of mine.
Yes.
I went to visit yesterday. His name was Ray Cesano, and he has shaking.
Parkinson?
Parkinson, yes.
Amen. Ray.
He's under a lot of medication.
All right.
Also, prayer for my friend Rob, his wife, Jeannie, is experiencing some high fevers.
Jeannie.
And they don't know what,
Amen. How many has a prayer request on your heart? Amos, could you take these to the Lord in prayer and pray for the food we're about to eat? But let's commit these to God. Ray and Jeannie and all the unspoken prayer requests today. Let's bow our heads.
Precious Lord, we thank you again this day, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to be in your house. We've been counted among those alive today.
Yes.
That you've given us the opportunity to come into your house and worship your mighty name. We thank you for that blessing, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Some were not able to make it today.
Yes,
we pray
Lord.
To give them a special blessing, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Lord, these needs that are coming up before you, Lord.
Yes,
you know
yes.
Our
Ray, Jeannie, Lord.
May you meet the needs of your
Yes,
people,
Father, on the unspoken requests, Lord.
Supply every need.
Help us, Lord, today.
We pray for Ray, Lord Jesus, and Jeannie. Lord.
Yes, Father.
We may not know them personally, but you know the need.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your love, Lord, your mercy that you extend to us.
Yes.
Day by day, every day we love, we don't know, Lord Jesus, the touch that you give us, Lord. If you can just remove the veil and show us how much you protect us and how much you keep us every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
The danger that you pervade from our way, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all your mighty hand, Lord. We pray, O Lord Jesus, that you can bless all those that prepared the meal today and all the food that we're going to bless.
Yes, Father.
Thank you for the natural food, Lord, that is about to take off, Lord. May you bless the food, sanctify it.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I pray also, Lord Jesus, for this week upcoming, Lord.
Yes.
May you bless all the saints, wherever they go, wherever our feet
Yes, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus.
We live in a dangerous time, a dangerous hour, and we need your mighty power, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We bless your name. We give you glory, honor, and power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Please, you're welcome to a fellowship. We want to see everyone there. 573, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What a lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Amen. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far, reaching higher far than the brightest star. It's sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Soon now, very soon, soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Saints of every race, saints of every race, shall behold his face. Oh, with him enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Let's sing that again. Proclaim, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name.
Amen. Glory.
Soon he'll come, oh, soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Saints of every race shall behold his face. Oh, with him. Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like through life's journey, through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him, and may to live. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till it's just no more love. I could never